Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
We realize that, listen again, our faith determines our eternal destination, but our works determine our eternal rewards.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
In the day in which Jesus was talking about here as a steward wasn't just for their business and their accounts and their finances. It was really their whole household. A good steward, a good manager, controlled everything about their household, from the food to the product to the children to other employees they had. Pretty much like it was with Joseph as an example, that Potiphar said he didn't even know what he had other than food that was on the table. And in a bigger scale, what God is saying is, listen, I own everything because I created it, but I'm making you stewards. This area here of Luke 12, how a steward should work. And he mentions it in the idea of Luke 12 in a parable. It says, then Peter said to him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And this was the parable, if you back up a little bit here, verse 35 to 39, is the parable of a wedding and a steward, or stewards, plural, that ended up in verse 35. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. They're waiting for the boss to show up. And when he'll return from the wedding, because he's getting married and he and his bride are going to come back. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. They didn't know when this bride and groom were going to show up. And so his employees were waiting for them. And he's saying this parable basically says, blessed are those servants, verse 37, whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And he changes it. He says, it's not just that now you're waiting for them to serve them, but he's going to turn around and serve you. And then he says, if he shall come in the second watch, which is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., or you come in the third watch, which is between 2 and 6 in the morning, which is the hardest times to stay awake, you'll find them so happy are those servants. And then he changes and gives another parable. And this, know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he'd have watched and he'd not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. He's saying, hey, here's these two parables, and they're both related to the boss, the owner that leaves. He's going to come back. And he says, when he comes back, you be ready. You be faithful. You be aware that, listen, he left and he's coming back. The natural tendency for all of us is to get lethargic, to forget, to be dulled. And if that wasn't a propensity, that wasn't a natural tendency, Jesus wouldn't have said it regularly. He said, listen, that wise servant, if he's faithful, if he's aware, if he's ready, then he's going to be rewarded incredibly if he's a wise and faithful steward. I say all this because if a good steward, if I'm going to be a faithful, wise steward, how am I going to be the best steward possible? Very simply, number one, I'm going to think like the owner thinks. He implies that, by the way, in verse 47. I've got a number two, respond like the owner would respond. And I'm going to give like the owner would give. If I'm a steward, if I'm a manager, God says, listen, you're my steward. I've given you the creation. And so the whole world is mine. I'm giving it to you, mankind. You can steward. So I'm going to think like he's going to think. So that's why he's given this documentation to say, oh, that's what you would do. I'm going to think like you think. I'm going to end up responding like you respond. So I'm going to live righteously because it's right and it's going to be rewarded. So God, this is how you tell me to live. It doesn't really matter what I think and feel about it. It's what you told me. So that's what I'm going to do. And so if you can understand that simple concept, you could understand when Jesus himself is saying, this is a wise steward. A steward was one who served as a house manager. He had no wealth of his own, but he distributed his master's wealth according to his master's will and direction. Now let me say to this, as we read the rest of this passage here, this is not talking about you can lose your salvation. Notice verse 45. But he that servant says in his heart, but if that servant, now all of a sudden Jesus is saying, let's not talk about a wise steward. Let's talk about a foolish servant here, a steward, a manager. If he says, well, my Lord delays his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and eat and drink and be drunken. He's doing things he shouldn't be doing. That Lord or that servant's going to come in a day when he looks not for him. You see, he wasn't preparing. He wasn't watching as those stewards waiting for the man coming from his wedding. And at that hour, when he's not aware, he's going to cut him in sunder. And he's going to appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, someone suggests he's talking about a believer here. I have a tendency to look, as I look at this whole passage, says, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about somebody that might look like he's a steward and might look like he's a part of all that Jesus was asking to do. But the fact is, he's an unbeliever. He's someone that didn't recognize that it was true what this owner was saying, I'm coming back, and he was living a life. It's not talking about someone that can end up losing your salvation. Let me make this statement to you, and actually a couple of them with this, because I wanted to help you understand that very simply what he's saying is that our faith determines our eternal destination. Our works determine our eternal rewards. And so when you end up finding people that view their life and say, well, this is my life and I'm going to do what I want with it, of course, how else can you end up blaming people that bereft of eternal perspective, unbelievers are bound to take wrong turns and come to wrong conclusions. They think, well, man, if this is all there is to life, then why deny myself any pleasure or possessions? And given that premise, why would they come to any other conclusion? People only live for a higher purpose when they see a higher purpose. And if there's no higher purpose, then I'm going to live to what it is, which is exactly what Luke 12, 13 talks about with the parable of the rich man who had so much that he said, man, I'm just going to end up like breaking this down and I'll build more. You say, well, man, is it talking that I shouldn't save anything? He's not talking about saving. He's talking about stockpiling. Jesus is not opposed to saving. If he was, he would never put into scripture parables related to the ant or proverbs that talk about the diligent hand will be made rich. He's not talking about that. He's talking about stockpiling. You say, well, how do you know the difference between saving and stockpiling? Stockpiling basically is taking the financial rewards and using those so that I don't have to trust. You get the place of saying, I've got it all right here, now I don't have to trust, there's a problem. You know how you end up knowing the difference between the two? Give some of it away. Give some of it away. Which is why Jesus ultimately comes back to this parable as I conclude and says, listen, that there is the wise steward I'm going to reward, and there's the foolish servant. And this foolish servant, the foolish personal manager, has said in verse 47, listen, I knew the Lord's will, and I prepared not himself. Neither did he according to his will. He had beaten with many stripes, and he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes, he's going to be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Yes, there's degrees of punishment. But the fact is, when you come to it, we realize that, listen again, our faith determines our eternal destination. But our works determine our eternal rewards. In other words, number one, what you believe about Jesus determines where you will spend eternity. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. By grace you save through faith. It's not yourselves. It's a gift of God. Listen, if I come to the conclusion that what you believe about Jesus determines where you'll spend eternity, it's heaven or hell. You have multiple choices on earth, but when life ends, you've got two, heaven or hell. But in addition to that, number two, how you behave on earth determines how God will reward you in heaven. Your belief controls your destination, but your behavior, what you do, controls and sets up your compensation. Now, the misconceptions, I'm afraid, is that number one, that your works can lead to salvation. People hear that and they think, well, man, I'm going to do all this right now. That's going to lead me to salvation because I'm doing all these good things. And Jesus says, no, Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness. You can't do enough to get to heaven. But in addition to that, understand it's not just that your works, they can't lead you to salvation. But a second misconception is that your works don't matter. And there's many a Christian I find that says, well, you know, hey, I believe, okay, and so there you go. I'm going to heaven. What a great thing. And they forget the fact that all through Scripture, you will continually have it noted that these individuals that are Christians, that are stewards, that not just now are stewards, but they're part of the family of God. They've said, God, I recognize you are creator, therefore your owner, and therefore Christ is who it is all about. I believe that he's the Son of God. I call upon the name of the Lord. He's now my boss controller. So now I'm living my life for him. This individual, this foolish steward that says, you know what? I'm doing this and I know what's right. And they might have a head knowledge, but not a heart attitude of God. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for myself. And when you get to that spot, you begin to realize, you know, our life is so very brief. I like what one person ended up saying 5 minutes after I die. He said, loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadow and darkening will fill this place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that show sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur I will not reach me. But where, oh, where will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? And it doesn't matter whether your life is 8 years or 80 years. Will you have 8 more minutes to live or 80 more years to live? What you do in this life right now is going to be so insignificant in relationship to time than it is to eternity. If I end up taking this a dot, I end up making this dot, and you're going to say, listen, this is your life right here. It's like a dot. And everything you do while you're on this earth is right there. But what you do here, what you, first of all, believe about what those scriptures state is going to control the destination where you're going to head. But the fact is that once you end up believing that Christ, you are Lord, I've given you my life. That's what I get now is salvation. That now what I do is going to end up not controlling my destination, it's going to control my compensation. You say, well, are you doing all these things of life just because the only reason you're doing is for rewards? No. But I want you to understand that this particular little point, this compared to the whole, is so insignificant. So I come to the conclusion that as a steward, what you do will make a difference.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.